Book of Exodus in the chapter 6, and we'll commence our reading at the verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you unto the land, concerning the which I did swear, to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage, I am the Lord. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for the anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Who am I of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. We'll end our reading there now at the verse 13. And we trust God will bless to us all today that reading from his own precious word. What a blessing it is to have the word of God that we can open today and read for ourselves. And I know we all appreciate having the holy scriptures that God has given to us. Now let us turn together for a few moments today in this passage here in the book of Exodus and in the chapter 6. We note here that the Lord draws very near unto Moses, as it were for to quieten his mind and to calm him down. For it's a time of stress and a time of trouble for Moses and for the people of Israel. And of course the Lord has a wonderful way of doing that with us, with his people. When we find ourselves under pressure, and when the battle is raging, how gracious God is to us. He comes very near to us. And the Lord delights for to quieten us, as it were, to bring that holy calm upon us. Now, of course, the Lord is repeating here the promise that he had already made to Moses. But we have read these verses here, this wonderful verse, chapter 6 and the verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive out of his land. He's repeating the promise that he'd already given to this man of God. Back in the chapter 3, if we turn back just a few chapters, in the chapter 3 and the verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go out empty. It was indeed a difficult time for Moses. For at this particular time, he couldn't really see the way forward, any way ahead. But the Lord comes to him, as I say, and he repeats his wonderful promise. In fact, everything seems to go from bad to worse for the children of Israel and for Moses. If we note there, for example, in the chapter 5 and in the verse 23. The chapter 5 and the verse 23, where we read, "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name," and the Lord here is speaking to Israel, and this is what he found. "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." So you see the frustration, and you see the difficulty that he finds. Humanly speaking, everything is going from bad to worse. But I want us to think here first and foremost from this very simple thought, this very simple lesson. The time has come for God to work. The time has come for the Lord to work. And ever let us keep this in mind. Our God does not slumber or sleep. He is never behind, as it were. He's never late. He has his times. God has his set time for to work. And the Lord, in his providence and in his mercy, he knows exactly what he's doing. And when he begins to work and to move, when the Lord arises, how wonderful are his works and his ways. This is what he reminds Moses of here. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." Time for the Lord for to move and to show his mighty power here unto Pharaoh and unto the Egyptians, and indeed unto Israel as well. And of course we are reminded of this right throughout Scripture. You remember Stephen, the martyr, the first martyr in the New Testament. As Stephen was speaking to the people of Israel, he's about to lose his life. He's about to depart from glory, or for glory. But he reminds Israel here of the wonderful works, the miraculous work, the mighty work of God down in the land of Egypt. We have it there in the book of Acts, and in the chapter 7, and in the verse 36. Acts chapter 7, and the verse 36. "He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. Stephen didn't forget about this, the wonders of God, the miracles of the Lord, and God's outstretched hand in the land of Egypt. And he's reminding the people of Israel. And the people of Israel are reminded of this right throughout Scripture. We find it also in the book of Psalms, how God arose at that time, and how he intervened and delivered his people. Yes, we might think here, as I'm sure the people of Israel, of course, they were tempted for to think, that things had gone from bad to worse. Pharaoh is now in the height of his power. An arrogant man feels that there's nobody can stand in his way. Nobody can oppose him. The mightiest monarch of his time. And he's filled with pride as well. He feels that he has Israel here in his very grasp. They are weak and he is strong. And he has a mighty army. He has great chariots. He has all of that. Who can withstand him? And of course Israel, as I've already said, are in a very low state at this particular time. Now, brethren, as we think of this, who would give anything for Israel's future prospects? Who would give anything for them? These bond slaves, this weak people, discouraged, downhearted at this time. But of course the Lord is on the throne, and God knows exactly what he's doing. And he has his set times, his set seasons for to work and for to arise for the deliverance of his people. Don't we read in Scripture, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. And we're all very familiar with the old saying, the old truth, and how true it is. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. There they are in their extremity. Who would give anything for them? This poor, lowly people. But of course, God has his appointed time for to help and for to save. Moses has done all that he can. But now they're brought to see what God can do. And you see, that's the way the Lord very often deals with us. And deals with his church as well. When we have gone, as it were, as we think, as far as we can, when everything seems to be at a low ebb, when the future doesn't look bright at all, and when we're seeing perhaps very little happening, and haven't we got to be very honest about it, right throughout our churches today for the most part. That's not to say we're thankful for every mercy and every blessing that God bestowed. But brethren, we have to admit that we're really not seeing very much. Is it true to say that perhaps for the most part that we're just holding our own? Just holding our own, as it were. And you know, it's very easy for discouragement and for disappointment for to enter in among God's people, into the fellowship and into our hearts, and we can be downcast, and we can feel, well, you know, you just, what does the future hold for us? But oh, let us keep this in mind. Let us keep this in mind, this great truth, this simple truth, that God is on the throne. He's the Lord of glory. He hasn't grown weary or grown weak. And my, when God arises to work, what a difference it makes. And what we have failed to accomplish perhaps for years. How quickly, have you ever noticed in Scripture, right throughout Scripture, how quickly things can change? We've often noticed, of course, as we read our Bibles, in a moment, in an instant, people can be saved as well. And if you're not saved today in the meeting, this is the power of God. Just think upon it for a moment. This is God's power. That there's life for a look at the crucified one. And that in a moment, in an instant, you may be saved and converted. And your whole life changed and completely turned around. And very quickly, God can come to his people as well. And revive them with life and with power. And fill them with the Holy Ghost. Aye, and not only that, but fill up our empty seats as well. And send us times of refreshing. Sent from his very presence. The time here had come for God to work. Everything up to this point seems to be just very discouraging. And they seem to be going back instead of forward. And you note here as well, really, there's no need for Moses to be alarmed or the people of Israel. God has everything in hand. He has everything in hand. And there's no ifs and buts about it. Now, we've read the verse here. And we have read these wonderful words, I will. In the verse 1, he says, I will. I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And of course we have it, as we'll see in a moment, we have it repeated here over and over again in this passage, verses 6 down to 8. These words, I will, I will. Now who's going to oppose the I wills of God? Who's going to reverse that? Who is strong enough in this world for to stand up against the Almighty? It doesn't matter who the man is. It doesn't matter how powerful he are. He says, I will, I'm going to do it. For God's time to work has come. Oh, here's a sure resting place, isn't it? For God's people. No matter how strong the enemy might be. Now there's a verse there, and I should have marked it in my Bible, but we'll turn it here to the book of Isaiah. And it's in Isaiah, the chapter 46 and the verse 10. Isaiah chapter 46 and the verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning. This is God. Do you know what we all need today, myself included? Oh, how we need to get a vision again of who God is, our God. The sovereignty of God, and the might of God, and the glory of God. And here he speaks to Isaiah, chapter 46 and the verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And who can make pronouncements like that? Brethren, who can speak like that but the Almighty, Jehovah himself? He says, I will do all my pleasure. Oh, let us keep that in mind. No matter how strong, as I say, the enemy is. And no matter how dark the times are in which we live, and whatever is raised up against us, and there's absolutely no doubt, we all know it very well, you don't need me to tell you, that we're living in a day of opposition to the gospel, fierce opposition, and opposition to the preaching of the gospel, and to God's standards, and to the Church of Jesus Christ. We're living in a liberal age, a heathen, ungodly age. And all that is set against us. And what are we but a remnant? But oh, let us remember, as the Lord said, reminded Daniel, the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men. The Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. And that's what the Lord here is reminding Moses of at this very low time in his own life and for the people of Israel. He says, I will, over and over again. I will arise, I will work, and I will bring them out. Now here's a sure resting place for the people of God. Oh, let us not forget, he is able to save to the uttermost. And as I say, if you're not converted and saved today in the meeting, he is able to save you to the uttermost. But not only that, he is able for to keep us as well. And he's able for to bring us to glory. He's going to bring the people of Israel. He has his set time, the very day, the very hour, and he's going to bring them out of Egypt. And he's going to bring them in, eventually, into the land of Canaan. There's a great verse there in John's Gospel. In the chapter 17, the great high priestly prayer of our Savior. A verse I'm sure you're familiar with and you've read many times. John 17 and the verse 24. The Lord here praying for his people. And he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Isn't that wonderful? The will of God for his people. Don't we all want to live as long as we can? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the desire that God has put within us. We want to fulfill our days. And if we get ill and we get sick, we pray for people to be healed and to be made well. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But let us ever keep this in mind. That eventually, this is what the Lord desires. This is his desire. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. That's God's will. That's the Lord's will for every one of his people. And thank God it's going to be fulfilled. That will be fulfilled. The weakest child of God, though we feel inadequate, and we have to say with Job at times, I am vile, behold I am vile. And the Lord saw something of the glory of God, the majesty of God. And we're all the same, aren't we? When we come into the light of God, when we view his holiness and his glory, we have to, as it were, prostrate ourselves before him and say, Lord, I'm vile. But this is God's will for us. His people, redeemed by precious blood, the Lord will bring us to glory. He'll bring us to glory. You see, the enemy here is the enemy going to frustrate the Almighty? Now, note what we read here in the verse 2. In Exodus chapter 6 and the verse 2. God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Pharaoh was a mighty man, wasn't he? The mightiest man of his day. And all that great backing that he had. His great army, up-to-date army. We sometimes think, you know, about these Old Testament men, that they were very backward, and they had nothing, and they could do nothing. But nothing could be further from the truth. They were able to organize great armies of chariots. When you think of what they could make out of silver and gold and everything else, and the great works they could turn out. And here's this mighty man with all his army and all his wealth. Ah, but there's one who is mightier than he. And it would seem as well that the vice is getting tighter on Israel, as it were. It's tightening on them. We all know the work of the vice, all you men here in the congregation. When you want something held steady, there in the garage or the workshop, you put it into the vise and you turn it, and you turn it until it's steady and held tightly. And Israel are like that. They're in the vise. They're held. Ah, but God is going to work. Will all of this make us, brethren, complacent? Well, you say if this all you've been saying, is there any need for us to pray then? Is there any need for us to be up and doing in the work of God? And to be about the Master's business? No, this ought not to make us complacent, or to be lazy, or to hold back. Brethren, this ought to be a real spur to us, an encouragement to us. In all that we seek to do, In the church here, among children, among the young people, among our doing our outreach, and in all that we seek to do for the Master, this is our encouragement that God is the Almighty, and that none can withstand him, and that the Lord is going to work mightily. Further, he says here to Moses, he says something else here to Moses as well. He says in the verse 1, he said that he would see it. He would see it. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. But we might say, well, Moses could die at any time, wouldn't see anything. He might get ill suddenly. Or maybe perhaps Pharaoh might have this man called and he might take his life, which he threatened to do. And it would be all over with him. Who could guarantee that Moses was going to see anything? But the Lord said to Moses, though he is in weakness, and though his life is in peril, hanging in the balance, Yet he says to Moses, thou shalt see it. He says, you're going to see what I'm going to do. And you're going to see the mighty work of the Lord. Oh, brethren, are we not called upon for to occupy, as I say, this high ground of victory? Are we in victory today? Are we in victory? We're living in a day, sad to say, even among God's people, when there seems to be an awful lot of moaning. An awful lot of moaning and discouragement. But we could all moan plenty, couldn't we? And we could grumble, and we could complain. But brethren, the Lord hasn't called us to this. He has called us for to stand in the victory, wherewith Christ has made us free. Moses here is pointed toward the goal. He's pointed toward the goal. And you know, God in his word points each one of us. He would have us look toward the goal. Yes, we're to labor on, we're to pray and be fervent in spirit. Instant in spirit and out of season, as it were. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. But the Lord points us toward the goal today. Before he comes back again, before he comes in glory, we're going to see, if we're alive to see it, we're going to see much taking place in this world of ours. When we think that the Savior came the first time to Bethlehem, to be born in Bethlehem, oh, how much he was despised. How much he was despised. In his earthly ministry, how much he was despised. Despised of men, forsaken by men. But he's coming again in great glory and in great power back to this world. Before he comes, there's much to happen and there's much to take place. How much history has already passed, even in our lifetime, in this world. But God would have us lift up our eyes, as it were. Lift up our eyes on high to see that Christ is coming again in mighty glory. Do you know there's much controversy today about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Many different views about it. And many different doctrines held. But you know, sometimes we miss the vital thing. We miss the vital thing. And the vital truth is this, that we're all clear about, is that Jesus Christ will come again in great power and great glory, and every eye shall see him, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And are we not to live in the light of his coming? Live in the light of the Lord's coming each and every day. For he's coming again in glory. And Moses is pointed toward the goal, as we are today, and not lose sight of it. And to keep our hearts, as it were, fixed upon us. He has told us what the end will be in his word. He has told us about the perilous times. He has told us in his word that it will be a great falling away. Many shall depart from the faith. But have we ever noticed the words there that we have there in Paul's epistle to the Romans? These great words in Romans and in the chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and the verse 20. He says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The apostle reminds us there in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The powers of darkness, they are real. These things are real. We all know it. Every child of God knows that today. We know how we're assailed by the enemy, how our minds are assailed, the temptations, the trials. We feel these things. That's why he says we're to put on, take to ourselves the whole armour of God. The shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, helmet of salvation. That's a real battle that we are engaged in. This was a real contest here between the people of Israel and Pharaoh and his army. It was fierce. It was a reality. And as I say, the people of Israel cannot see too far ahead what's going to happen. But God's promise stands sure. And we have to keep our minds on this also. Satan is not going to win. The devil is not going to win. Principalities and powers are not going to win. The world is not going to win. Evil men are not going to overcome. The victory belongs unto the Lord. And he will bruise Satan under our feet shortly. Praise God for that. But then, as we close, we want to look very quickly here at the comfort of his name. The comfort of God's name. Because he says here in the verse 3, he says, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now here's the fountain of all being, isn't it? Of infinite perfection. Jehovah, the Lord, the King of all glory. And his name here, of course, is full of significance, isn't it? Jehovah translated Lord. But he's never called Jehovah. It's very interesting. He's never called Jehovah in Scripture until all creation had been finished. Until he finished all he begun. We read that, of course, in Genesis chapter 2 and in the verse 4. Then he's called Jehovah. And he says here to the people of Israel, he says, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Yes, they had a grasp, a certain grasp of his name, the name Lord. Oh, but Jehovah. We sing it over, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The all-powerful, the almighty God. That's why the scripture reminds us that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And Pharaoh doesn't realize, neither do the people of Egypt realize, that they're about to fall into the hands of the living God, the God who commences and the God who finishes what he has commenced. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of that in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And note here in the passage, we've already just made reference to it in the verses 6 through to 8. We have looked at the I wills. Mark them in your Bible. Mark them in your Bible. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, Jehovah, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Verse 7, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. Isn't that wonderful in verse 8? I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear. My goodness, they're not even out of Egypt yet. They're not even out of Egypt. They're not even into the wilderness yet. But he says, I will. I will do it. I will do it. And dear friend, today it's only the resolutions of God that's going to stand. We can make many a resolution and mean well and be sincere, but there's no guarantee we're going to perform the thing. That's why James reminds us in his epistle concerning those who say, tomorrow we'll go unto such and such a city, and there we will build and do business and all the rest, whereas ye know not what a day may bring forth. It's the same with every one of us. We have no guarantee of this day or of this incoming week. What is our life? As the hymn writer said, life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. If you were to die this day, if God were to summon you into his presence this day, where would you be in eternity? That's the thing. Where would you be in eternity? Never mind what you have now. Where would you be in eternity? That's why you need to be saved. That's why we, the people of God, need to hold on to the promises of God. Only the resolutions of the Almighty are sure to be fulfilled. Oh, do we know him today? Are we trusting in him? Is this our comfort? Is this our rest in an ever-changing world that's going to change even more and more? Where there's going to be more upheavals before our Savior comes again in glory and great power? We need to have our minds stayed upon him, stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. This is the goal. This is our comfort today. How we need to keep our eyes and our minds placed upon him, the unchanging God. The God who does not grow weary or age, and who's on the throne of glory today. And he came to Moses when he was at a low ebb, and even the people, his own people, were ready to stone him. When they said to him, now you've been in to see Pharaoh, what good did it do you? Where did you get with Pharaoh? Nowhere. That's more or less what they were saying to Moses and to Aaron. And the Lord had to remind him again. He says, I will do this. I will do it. And none can hinder.